The lobby was like the inside of a cave, cool and dark, at least after hours of the dazzle of South Sea sun on white sand. Anya had returned the chair at the rental kiosk outside by the pool.
Miss Creed.
Anya turned toward the unfamiliar voice. Two men stood in the lobby among the potted palms. One was a handsome young blonde guy, built like a linebacker, with a fresh gray-eyed face and short blonde hair. The other was heavy-set, but in a way suggesting more muscle than body fat, with gray-shot, dark blonde hair and beard cropped close to square head and jaw. His eyes were brilliant blue. Both wore standard tropical tourist drag, T-shirts, shorts, sandals. Anya's eyes narrowed. To her recollection, she had never seen either man's face before, yet both seemed somehow familiar.
Yes? May I help you?
We need to speak with you confidentially, concerning a highly urgent matter.
With all respect, I'm not sure what that could possibly be. I don't know either of you gentlemen.
You did know our associate, Mr. Cedric Millstone, though, didn't you?
Our late associate.
Anya looked from one to the other. The young man seemed to be trying hard to keep his dead serious manner. The older man seemed quietly amused. She didn't bother asking how they'd found her. If they'd been able to punch through Garin Braden's wall of obfuscation and mount an operation to crash through her skylight in Brooklyn inside of 48 hours, tracking her to Papeete, Tahiti in a similar period of time was no great stretch. Especially when those people had resources sufficient for little errands like capturing ships in the mid-Pacific and dispatching small armies to distant Polynesian islands.
My room. 5 minutes.
Anya was dressed conservatively, in long khaki pants and cream cotton blouse.
It's open. Take a seat, gentlemen.
Thank you, Miss Creed. I am Hevelin. My associate is Mr. Sharshak. It is good of you to consent to meet with us like this, Miss Creed.
You might as well call me Anya. So, are you going to report me to the French authorities?
By no means, Miss Creed. Your secret is safe with us. And we ask you, if we may, please, for similar discretion.
Fair enough. How did you boys get out of that metal hut anyway?
It wasn't easy.
Miss Creed, we belong to an ancient order of knights. The Knights of the Risen Savior, founded in Jerusalem in 1228 by the Emperor Frederick II.
I've never heard of any order called the Knights of the Risen Savior, and I find it hard to believe the man they called Stupor Mundi, the wonder of the world, would found any such order. He had far more of a reputation as a patron of the arts and sciences and a humanist for the time than for his piety. That's putting it mildly, given what a major thorn he was in the Vatican's side.
You know your history, I see.
I'm a professional. The Middle Ages and Renaissance are my specialty.
The Emperor, if the accounts of our brotherhood are to be believed, was a complex man. He did found a new militant knightly order, a secret order. At the risk of sounding disrespectful of our patron, I suspect the prospect amused him. He would have his very own equivalents to the Templars and the Hospitallers. He was, as you know, an avid collector of curiosities.
It wasn't so much what he founded, but what we found.
The coffin.
You describe the container. We are accustomed to thinking in terms of the contents.
I have no idea what the contents are, although Millstone suggested it was the bones of a very holy man, whoever that might be. I blew him off at the time, which, yes, I regret very much.
You mean you spent all that time on the island with the holy relic, and you never got a look at it?
I hope the French colonial police aren't as efficient as you are.
The police haven't the motivation we do. Indeed, it's in their interests if this whole matter simply goes away. No one likes doing unnecessary paperwork.
Anyway, the answer's no. I only got a peek inside the crate. I didn't see much but packing material.
You would have seen little in any event. We resealed the coffin itself, as you call it, after we recovered it. We tried to keep moisture from damaging the contents, which are very precious. What our order found in Jerusalem had an enormous effect on the Emperor. Whether it produced some intense religious reaction with him, only he and our Lord can know. But his actions indicated he took the discovery most seriously indeed.
He charged us with guarding the relic, and preserving thereby the Order of the World.
The Order...
Of the World, yes. The sealed metal coffin, or rather its contents, were believed to threaten the very fabric of society in some way, despite, or perhaps because of, its holiness.
Wow.
Among other things, the Emperor Frederick richly endowed us with funds and properties. Over the centuries, we have added to that initial endowment, amassing substantial financial holdings over 8 centuries.
So how did you avoid the fate of the Knights Templar?
Well, as you point out, Miss Creed, you've never heard of us, have you? Our elder brothers saw early on how the Templars' wealth and prominence earned them as much resentment as admiration. And we didn't lend money to princes.
Prudent of you. So, what's really in the coffin?
It's a very powerful relic.
Powerful how? In the sense of the ability to perform miracles?
Maybe it can.
And maybe I don't buy any such mystical explanation.
It must have some power to have made that kind of impression on a man with a temperament like Emperor Frederick's.
All of us make mistakes, even old Fritz. And I doubt I need to remind you how big a cathedral you might have built out of all the fragments of the true cross scattered through churches all over Europe.
Let us say, at the least, that the contents possess enormous symbolic significance. Their mere possession confers great status and propaganda value, such that, in the wrong hands, they could cause irreparable, unimaginable harm.
I am still having a hard time fitting my mind around concepts like an 800-year-old secret somehow threatening the modern world. Such an item causing unimaginable harm strikes me as, well, unimaginable.
We're in a race with evil Muslim fanatics for possession of the holy relic. That must tell you how important it is.
Well, a lot of people have been willing to die for it, and a whole lot more to kill for it. So thinking about it, I'd have to say it's having a pretty malign influence on the world.
That has much to do with why we were conveying it to our newly built chapter house in North America, where it could be kept safe from the eyes of the world and the hands of profaners.
Speaking of profaners, if you mean those men you fought on Larev, they sure didn't act like Muslim fanatics. They fought as if they knew what they were doing. Both sides did. But after they got the drop on you, they seemed to treat you pretty well.
That's the honor of fighting men. We'd have done the same for them.
Who were they anyway? The same people you took the relic back from in mid-ocean? A pretty slick trick, by the way.
Thanks.
They were not.
So who were they? People who would arrange the hijacking of a cruise liner full of innocents just to cover a theft, and then turn around and murder the thieves they hired to pull off the heist? I've got no trouble calling people like that evil. No trouble at all.
Let us say this is a multi-sided struggle. There are evil men who will stop at nothing to get their hands on this most holy artifact. We are its rightful guardians.
We'd like you to help us recover it, Miss Creed.
Well, here's the problem. Whatever the details, we're dealing with a priceless archaeological artifact that should go back to its rightful owners.
That's us.
And that's not really clear to me. It seems to me the proper authorities should decide.
And who might they be in this instance, Miss Creed?
I don't really know. Okay? I admit it. I'm pretty sure these Muslim commando types aren't the rightful owners. Maybe if they were Arabs, but they clearly aren't. But until I have a better idea of the real rights and wrongs of the situation, I can't help you.
Very well, Miss Creed. We respect your reservations. However, I urge you to consider carefully that others will not.
Are you threatening me, Mr. Heavelin?
You have nothing to fear from us. You have my word on that. But I cannot speak for the other parties involved in this affair. Good afternoon, Miss Creed.